Chapter 5. Happiness in Separation. In appearance, the trees and creepers of Vrindavan seem to be ordinary. But upon seeing Krishna, they become overwhelmed in bhav. With great joy, they offered pranam to the feet of Krishna by offering their fruits and flowers, and they shed tears of love in the form of streams of honey. Even the plants and trees of this world have feelings. Like us, they are conscious. They are not able to express their feelings in words, but they can express them. Especially the trees and creepers of Vrindavan are all Vishuddha Sattva, meaning that they are superior to those of us situated in mixed goodness. So what won't they understand? They can understand and experience everything. Therefore, by offering their fruits and flowers in ecstatic rapture, they offer pranam to Krishna. In his commentary, Sanatan Goswami is saying that these trees and creepers are more conscious than the clouds. The gopis felt that all the other residents of Vrindavan were serving Krishna, but that they themselves were not. They saw that even the clouds were serving him by creating an umbrella above his head to block out the sun, and by showering cooling rain on him. So the trees and creepers were even more conscious than the clouds, and we can see their condition upon hearing the vibration of Krishna's flute and receiving his darshan. Concerning Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Narottam Das Thakur wrote, Pashu Pake Jure Pashana Vidare Suni Jara Guna Gata. Upon witnessing the Leela of Mahaprabhu, the birds, animals and insects would melt in divine love. When Mahaprabhu was in Alalanath, upon hearing his crying, the stones were melted, and his footprints and imprints from where he fell unconscious were easily indented there. When Sri Ramchandra and Bharat went to Chitrakoot, upon feeling the mutual love of the two brothers, the stone there melted. When Krishna played the flute at Charanpahari at Kamyavan, the stone melted and he left 50 or more footprints there. These footprints are certainly his. They were not made by anyone else. So even stones, clouds, trees and animals can melt in emotion. But we have not yet become melted in emotion. We haven't yet developed the intense eagerness that I will certainly engage in Krishna Bhajan. In the verse we began describing in the last chapter, we find the line Vanalatas Tarava, meaning the creepers and trees in the forest. But why have the creepers been mentioned before the trees? It would seem that it would be proper to mention the trees first because they are primary, and without them, the creepers would have nothing to climb up. But the creepers are of the same gender as the gopis, and their sentiment is similar. These creepers are female, just as we are, and men don't have as much sentiment as we do. Thinking like this, the gopis first mentioned the word lata in this verse, and then tarava. They say Atmani Vishnum, which means he who is pervading everything, referring to Bhaktavatsalya Bhagavan. Vyan Jayantya means revealed in a special way to this Nanda Kishore, Yasoda Nandan, Krishna Chandra, or Gopikanta. These creepers had a treasure hidden in their hearts, but upon hearing the sound of Krishna's flute, they immediately revealed it in the form of fruits and flowers. Bowing down to Krishna's feet, they offered the treasure of their hearts as pranam. There are two ways of offering pranam to someone. Someone who has very little faith will apathetically offer pranam with his hands only one time and then leave. But someone who has strong faith will bow down and offer pranam time and again with great love and humility. He will look towards his master with great affection, desiring his blessing. The trees offered pranam to Krishna in this way with great prema. Krishna came, they offered pranam, and even after Krishna left, they remained bowing down because there was so much prem in their hearts. Being submerged in the ocean of unhappiness of separation from Krishna, how did the gopis pass the day? After cooking for Krishna at the home of Yashoda and seeing that Krishna had taken the cows to the forest to graze, the gopis returned to their homes. And those sakis, who are Svapaksh, belonging to Radhika's own group, remain with Radhika. When someone is happy, it seems to them that the whole day passes in a minute. So in separation from Krishna, how will the gopis manage to pass the day? It says here that they engage in kirtan, singing these verses which we are reading. But did they pass the day in happiness or unhappiness? They were remembering the leela of Krishna by describing it, and were revealing their inner feelings to one another. But were their feelings happiness or unhappiness? Hearing the descriptions of his leela, they became absorbed and felt that they were actually seeing him. But when the excitement from that diminished, they were plunged into the depths of despair. For the gopis, happiness and unhappiness became one ocean. It says in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vishamrita Ekatra Milana, poison and nectar become one. I am not able to explain this in such a way that you will understand this, or even to fully understand it myself, because we are presently standing on the platform of Maya, wrapped up in material enjoyment. We cannot understand this. Then why are we hearing of it? It is like a coating of wax. If you are placing candles here and there, then a little wax will come off in your hand and create a coating. Similarly, if a sadhak reads, hears, and speaks about these topics, then certainly something will rub off. A little feeling of bhav will come. Then practicing sadhana more and more, after some time, this feeling will become so strong that it will never be interrupted. Here the gopis are mutually hearing and describing Leela Katha, and as remembrance comes, they are seeing Krishna with the eyes of bhav. It appears that they are suffering due to separation, but inside them is great happiness. Evam brajas triyo rajan Krishna lilanu gayate Ramir hasu takchitas tan manasaka mahodaya. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:35-26. O King, during the daytime, the ladies of Braj took pleasure in continuously singing about the pastimes of Krishna, and their hearts were fully absorbed in him. The ladies of Braj had offered their hearts to Krishna. We see in the Vanavihara Gita and in the Venu Gita that the gopis are absorbed in supreme anand. Even in separation from him, they remain happy by meditating on his pastimes. Yet in another place it is written that being very unhappy, they pass the day singing about his leela. They took shelter of only one thing, singing about Krishna's pastimes. Otherwise they would have been unable to pass the day. So are the gopis happy as they sing about his pastimes or unhappy? It is harmonized in this way. If we see a person really crying and wailing in separation from Krishna, just as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did, what feelings will arise within us? Will we think that, I never want to be like this? Rather, we will think that if even a small fraction of that bhav enters us, our lives will be completely successful. As peculiar as it seems, we actually desire to cry in this way. The verses in the Bhagavatam describing the crying of the gopis will be those most read by a rasik devotee. In the Brahmara Gita, the gopis are in Vipralamba Bhav, and speaking to a bumblebee, they are expressing their suffering. It is a very sad thing, but devotees enjoy it very much. The Venu Gita, Gopi Gita, Yugal Gita, and other chapters of the Bhagavatam all focus entirely on the topic of separation from Krishna. Devotees find all this tasteful, even though they are crying. they like crying also. Therefore here happiness is included within crying, and the gopis are described in this verse as Mayodhaya, experiencing a grand festival. Singing about Krishna's pastimes during the day, they were supremely happy. Meeting Krishna at night, they were fully gratified. And in meditation, during the day, their minds raced after him as he wandered in the forest. This is the meaning of bhajan. If a devotee is absorbed in meditation on Krishna Leela, then that meditation is bhajan. How will I meet Krishna? So many lives have passed and still I have not found him. Although externally that prema appears to be unhappiness, inside their meditation is immeasurable happiness. When Krishna leaves Vrindavan and goes to Mathura or Dwarka or Atnandagram or Udavkiri, the gopis are crying in sadness. Why won't they abandon their meditation on Krishna? Are they able to abandon it? Suryadas has written that the gopis placed Krishna's dust foot all over their saris and their limbs, and when the tears related to Krishna fell from their eyes and mixed with that, they became very dirty. But would any of them change their saris? So this meditation is actually full of happiness. But yes, externally it seems to be unhappiness. It is written in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the happiness felt by one person meeting Krishna exceeds the happiness felt by the residents of millions of material universes combined. And the unhappiness felt by the residents of Vrindavan exceeds the pain caused by the most potent poison. Therefore, Sanatan Goswami, Jiva Goswami, and Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur have written in their commentaries that in this state of separation, happiness and unhappiness are the same. At the end of his explanation of this verse, Sanatan Goswami says that in this way, Krishna is the very embodiment of Paramananda. He is the Swarup of Ras. He is Sarva Shaktiman. He is all-pervading. He knows the mind and hearts of all, and he is the foundation of all rasa. He is both the rasa itself and the taster of rasa. He performs pastimes which establish him as the very embodiment of Paramananda. There is no difference between Krishna and his Leela, just as there is no difference between Krishna and his name. Being merciful, when Leela sees that there is bhav in our hearts, then it will appear to us. By thousands of our own efforts, it will not appear. But when it is merciful to us, at that moment, it will appear of its own accord. Just as Krishna is supremely independent, his Leela is also supremely independent. It will know if a recipient is qualified or not. If it sees that one's prayers is full of humility, then no matter what one's qualification may be, it will appear. It may appear in the hearts of qualified people like the four Kumaras, or in someone with a sinful background like Bilvamangala. Leela manifested in his heart, and Krishna himself came to help him walk to Braj and to listen to his sweet singing. Therefore, Sanatan Goswami is saying that just as Krishna is the very embodiment of Paramananda, so is his Leela. If one is simply hearing narrations of Krishna Leela, then for him there is no necessity of Vairagya or anything of the kind. Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti san mukaritam bhavadiya vartam. Stane stita stuti gatam tanu van manobir ye parisho jita jito pi asi chais trilokyam. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.3. Bhagavan is unconquerable by anyone within this world. Yet if someone faithfully hears Harikatha, even while remaining within his established social position, then the disease of lust and all anartas will vanish from his heart, and he will overpower that unconquerable Bhagavan. Such is the potency of Lila Katha. But since this Lila Katha is Paramananda Swarup, then what necessity will the gopis feel to meet Krishna? Won't they be satisfied just by this? They won't be satisfied. Why? Sanatan Goswami gives his opinion that although Krishna and Lila Katha are one, the gopis won't be satisfied by just engaging in Lila Katha. Their prema is such that it can never be restricted in any way, and they will never be fully pleased, fully satisfied, or receive the full ruchi from only engaging in Lila Katha without meeting Krishna. They desire to enter directly into the Lila, where Krishna will express similar sentiments towards them as he did in the Rasa Lila. Harikatha by itself won't satisfy the gopis, but a sadhak should always continue hearing Harikatha, understanding that the happiness which the gopis experienced while engaged in Harikatha was merely a manifestation of their indescribable happiness. It is written that when Lila Katha enters the ears of a sadhak, it enters his heart, snatches away all inauspiciousness, and makes his heart completely pure. Then it takes him to a place where he can relish a life of serving Radha and Krishna with the sakhas and sakhis. In this way, Krishna and his Lila Katha are supremely merciful. Next comes this verse. Ete linas tava yasho kila loka tirtam gayanta adipurushan patam bhajante prayo ami muni gana bhavadiya mukya gudam vane pina jayati anagatama daivam. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.15.6 and Brihat Bhagavatam Rita 2.7.113. Sri Krishna said to Balaram, Hey Adipurush, although you are keeping your opulences hidden and are performing pastimes as a young boy here in Vrindavan, still the Munis, who are among the best of your devotees, have recognized you. Not wanting to be separated from you for even one moment, they have assumed the form of bees and are worshipping you by constantly singing your glories as the purifier of this world. Krishna and Baladev Prabhu have taken the cows out for grazing, and using the pretense of Baladev as a pretext, Krishna is actually praising himself in his speaking of this verse. Here he praises Baladev as being Adi Purush, but that is actually Krishna himself. He is describing so many of the glories of Baladev here, but they are actually his own glories. He says, the buzzing of the bees in this forest is actually the chanting of Vedic mantras. The bees are actually munis, but in the form of bees, they are glorifying you with poems and prayers as they follow you along. You are wearing a Vajayanti mala, which is comprised of many different kinds of flowers and tulsi manjaris also. There is nectar within these manjaris. So sometimes these bees are sitting on the manjaris, sometimes on the other flowers of the garland, and sometimes they are swarming around you offering prayers. They are actually munis who, after performing austerities for thousands of years, have attained perfection. Being munis, they are able to discern that you are actually the Adi Purush. Even though you remain hidden in your form as a young boy, at the conjunction of the Poganda and Kishore ages. Therefore, they are unable to abandon your company and are following behind you offering prayers. What is the nature of their prayers? There are so many different kinds of poems and prayers that can be offered to Krishna, but amongst them, which are the topmost? There are countless mantras within the Vedas, and their personifications pray. Although we are the mantras of the Vedas, up until today, we have been performing austerities for the purpose of attaining and becoming absorbed in the bhav which you share with the gopis. Please be kind and make that bhav arise within our hearts. There are so many types of prayers one can offer to Krishna, but if someone prays for the bhav of Braj, then he is more pleased. And especially if someone prays for the bhav of the gopis, that will please him the most. Grandfather Bhishma prayed, O Prabhu, out of friendship you are driving the chariot of Arjuna, and your blood is flowing from the wounds made by my arrows. At this time I remember you in Vrindavan, as your soft body may be pricked by thorns, and blood is coming from those wounds. Seeing you in this condition, that bhav is coming to me. In Braj, Krishna's skin may have been pricked as he was playing with the sakas, but really Bhishma is remembering Krishna with his skin having been scratched by the gopis in their amorous pastimes. In describing that bhav, Sanatan Goswami has quoted that verse here in his commentary and given a very beautiful explanation. This kind of prayer is the topmost. If we pray, O Prabhu, Yashoda has scolded you and you are crying, I offer pranam to you in this condition time and again, then Krishna will be pleased. And above that, if we pray, O Prabhu, you are very rasik. In Vrindavan, when the gopis are fatigued, you massage their feet and appease them. I offer pranam to you time and time again. Then there will be no need to say anything more. Being very pleased, Krishna will give himself to someone who offers such a prayer. He is more pleased by those who pray with this elevated bhav than he was even by the prayers of Lord Brahma. The descriptions of Krishna's lila are referred to here as Akila Loka Tirtham. They are the savior and purifier of the entire world. One may be purified by repeatedly bathing in tirthas, holy places, but hearing Harikatha from an elevated devotee will purify one for all time and make one qualified to purify others as well. Acting as guru, this Lila Gata is the purifier of everyone, whether they are qualified or not by other considerations. It is the bestower of the knowledge of Bhagavan's glories and the very thing that takes us across the ocean of material existence. Singing about Bhagavan's Lila will purify oneself and the entire world also. Holy places become very contaminated and even begin to desire that sinful people will not bathe in their waters. But if someone hears Harikatha from Narad, will Narad ever become contaminated? Whoever asks him questions and whoever hears his answers will become purified. He is always singing the Lila Katha of Bhagavan and sometimes even creates some pastime himself, such as when he went to Dwarka accompanied by Uddhav and the construction of Navavrindavan was arranged. He inspired many different kinds of pastimes and then he sings about them. No one knows the glories of Lila Katha better than Narad. If anyone hears and chants such descriptions, especially the descriptions of Lila found in the Srimad Bhagavatam, then certainly Krishna, accompanied by his associates, will appear in that person's heart. Thus ends chapter 5 of Bhakti Rasayana.